Praise the Lord.
Anyway, one of the most important things to know about believers is that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. There's no lie about that. There's no mistake about that. And I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Is anybody surprised? Didn't the Lord lead us there in our devotion this morning? Ephesians chapter 6. And we're just going to look at verses 10 through 13. Ephesians chapter 6. But before we read, let's pray, shall we? Father, your Messiah promised to return. In the meantime, we are here to serve you to your glory. We ask that you would help each of us to forsake sin. We ask that you would help us to prepare to be received by Christ our Redeemer. Help us to help others prepare also. Father, I ask that you would give me unction to preach your word today. I yield to you for your glory. Please open our ears to hear and open our eyes, Lord, the eyes of our understanding. And Lord, we ask that you would remove any and all distractions from our thinking as we go forward in this service. We ask that you would make us hungry for your written word and help me to preach in your spirit and in your power. I ask that you would let your spirit to fall upon all who receive this message, and I pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. If you look on page 789 in the Pew Bible, you'll find it there. We're only going to read verses 10 through 13, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, and this is what we hear there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I pray that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. As I said, one of the most important things that we need to understand is that we are in a battle. The key text for the message from the passage we read is verse 12. We must remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is where our battle is, although our battle also comes in our flesh. Our battle is found in the world. And it's found in the spiritual realm. There's three battlefields, and we have to fight on each front. Whether we believe it or not, we're engaged in a war with an invisible force. It's an invisible battle in many ways. The forces of evil aren't straight up in our face. We don't get to see the devil face to face. We don't get to see his henchmen, his angels, his demons, as they're called. This is a serious aspect of our faith. This is a serious aspect of believing. But few, sadly, teach about this today. We're not hearing about spiritual warfare. We're not sending people out into the war, into the battles. We're telling them it's all going to be good for them because after all, they said a prayer and they can live for God any way they choose, of course. Whether we believe it or not, we are engaged in a war. The enemy of souls recognizes us. He recognizes us by our confession of faith, but not just our confession of faith, by the fruit that we bear. This is what Jesus said. They'll know you. You'll know the tree by its fruit. Well, the devil knows the trees by their fruit too. He knows who's who. He knows who belongs to God. He knows who we are and who the enemy's children are, the children of the devil, as Jesus called them. Some say we only need to confess with our mouth one time. Just say this little prayer and you'll be saved now and forever. And do whatever you like the rest of your life because after all, Jesus paid it all and you don't have to do anything. They claim we don't need to produce fruit of believing. They say that preaching about producing fruit is works-based salvation preaching. But the one that I serve, Jesus, he said fruit distinguishes believers from unbelievers. That's what he said. How do we get away from that? How did we get away from the fruit being what shows us who believers are. Looking back on Christ's church, we can see the effects that the war has had. We can see it. In fact, we can see it all around us. Church buildings are closing now. You know, even in our area, church buildings are closing. I saw an article in the newspaper about a church in Mars that they're thinking about turning into a municipal building. There's a church here in the valley that closed recently. There's churches all over this country that are closing. The saddest thing that I've ever seen in my research of churches and closing churches is the churches in the Middle East that have sand blowing through the buildings. It was the saddest thing. Brought me to tears to see that. Great and majestic buildings that were used for practicing worship. For people of faith. Gone. With the wind, literally. It's a sad thing. And you know, if we do not stand up in this battle, if we do not stand up in this war, if we do not become the formidable force that Almighty God has called for us to be, we're going to see that happen all over this country. More and more buildings are going to close. I was looking at a picture this morning of churches in one particular area of Pittsburgh, in the south side of Pittsburgh. I think there were 5 or 6 churches. And it listed what the churches were. Now, they used to have this and they used to have that, different buildings. Some of the buildings have been torn down. Some of the sanctuaries aren't used as sanctuaries anymore. But some of them, they can't sell them because there's a lawsuit preventing them. There's places all over where the church buildings have been turned into what? Nightclubs, bars, art galleries, everything but a house of worship. Maybe God's calling us in this war to come out of buildings like this. Maybe buildings like this are becoming obsolete. Maybe we're not going to have buildings like this anymore. Maybe we're going to be meeting in each other's houses. As the time draws near, I suspect that's probably closer to reality than what we're seeing now. The true church is struggling to exist even in this land. It's the truth, folks. The body of Christ has wheat and tares. It has sheep and goats. And savage wolves have come in to devour the flock. The casualties of war are great. There are great casualties of war. Many fell by the wayside and others are falling. And why? Because they were unprepared. They're unprepared for the war. They haven't been prepared. The teaching hasn't been, you've got to be on your guard. You've got to be careful. You've got to be prayed up. You've got to be in the Word of Almighty God. You've got to be protecting yourself from sin. You've got to discipline your flesh. The teaching hasn't been that. The teaching has been, it's all good. It's okay. Let's sing some songs. We're going to be happy. Had somebody here one time tell me, your job is to make us happy, Pastor. You've got to make us feel good. So no, that's not my job. My job is to preach the Word of Almighty God and to teach you what His Word says. That's my job. My job is to bring a message that Almighty God has helped me to prepare for each and every one of you who will hear it, whether here in this room now or online. And there are people that are no doubt watching. I can't tell because I can't look at that thing. But somehow I remembered. I glanced over here and saw that. You know, there's those that fell out because they were deeply steeped in sin. There's churches that have failed because they haven't stayed true to the Word of God. And others fell by their own unwillingness to go where God led. Isn't that what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness? They didn't want to go where God was leading them. Oh, they grumbled, and they mumbled, and they complained. And what happened? God let them all drop dead in the wilderness. And He took the remnant into the promised land. And they had to fight their way in. It wasn't like the fight was over when they got out of the wilderness. They had to fight and fight and fight. And ours isn't a physical fight, necessarily. Although there have been times when physicality has become a part of the spiritual battle. We're fighting in a war, folks. And we need to understand that. As we close the calendar on 2018, we need to remember as we open the calendar into 2019, it's not going to change. We're praying for revival. We're praying for the people of God to stand up and become the body of Christ. We're praying that God will move by His Spirit over His people that we can become that force to draw souls out of the darkness and into the light. But still the church is struggling to exist. Many who call themselves Christians aren't true followers of Christ. Instead, they follow evil principalities. They follow wicked powers. They've accepted and adopted the message that's put forth by the rulers of the darkness of this age. They're guided by spiritual hosts of wickedness. Those spiritual hosts of wickedness are in heavenly places, but they're operating here on earth. Many of them are dyed in the wool. They'll tell you that. They're dyed in the wool. And they'll name whatever denomination they belong to. They're dyed in the wool this, they're dyed in the wool that. I've heard people say it all my life. I'm dyed in the wool, and I'm not going to name any of these groups. They say they're dyed in the wool, but they're dyed in the wool followers of human teachings. They're dyed in the wool followers of traditions of men. This is the thing that Jesus preached against. It's contrary to Christ's teaching. The Christian wool that they wear is merely covering what? Their wolf nature. They're in fact savage wolves, many of them. Men have risen up speaking perverse things, just as it was written in Acts chapter 20. Paul foretold this. He said after he leaves, there are going to be those who come in. They're going to be savage wolves devouring the flock, devouring those who believe. They're hiding their wolf nature under that Christian sheepskin. The enemy of souls uses unbelievers, even those who don Christian sheepskin. Those who don that Christian wool to attack the family of God that exists in the world. I know from personal experience, and I know some of you in this room know from personal experience, the very people who are to proclaim the Word of God are those that are tearing down the body of Christ in many cases. Because you don't agree with them in something. Or they're preaching some falsehood and you bring it to their attention. And now you become a target. True followers must not fear. Almighty God will use you. Even as the devil uses those who follow the wicked teachings of men, Almighty God will use you. Those who counter the plain word of Almighty God will fail. God shows us in His Word. His people prevail. Yeah, this is a battle. It's a war. There are going to be a lot of fronts. You're going to have fronts, and some of us have fronts in many different levels, many different places, many different ways. We have to fight, it seems, every day. There's not a day when that goes by that we're not in some sort of a battle over something. Because the enemy's trying to tear us down. He's trying to break us down. He doesn't want you to be a follower of Christ. He wants you to become twice the child of hell that the others are. You know, some of those who follow the wicked teachings of men are in high places even now today. And I know this isn't a bright message at this point, but let me tell you, folks, there's hope, and I'm going to get to that. I promise you. Our Creator is with us. We have to resolve in our hearts to remain faithful. We have to resolve in our hearts. This is a biblical resolution that we resolve to be followers of Christ no matter what attacks us, no matter what comes at us, no matter how the world turns against us, no matter how our flesh goes against us. Our Creator is with us and He enables us to prevail. He enables us to prevail. It's His will that we prevail. Know that. This isn't just something He says and doesn't keep His Word. We know He keeps His Word. We looked at that over the last few weeks in the coming of Christ. He said He was going to send the Messiah and He sent Him. Messiah promised to return and He will. Almighty God keeps His promises. The first fight that we face individually is against our own flesh. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. You said that this fight isn't against the flesh and blood. The fight is in our flesh. The enemy of souls is fighting within our flesh. We have sin in our flesh. Christ died for our sin. We can forsake that sin, but our flesh has been tainted by that sin. Remember, it's written in James chapter 1, blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But, hear this, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. What are you drawn away by? Your own desires. What am I drawn away by? My own desires. And then when desire has conceived, guess what it gives birth to? It has a baby. The baby's called sin. Desire gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, all grown up, it brings death. That's what the Word says. And then it goes on to say, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived. Sin's the baby. It grows up to death. Why is he warning us of this? That we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires and enticed because we're battling the flesh. We are battling the flesh each and every day. The eyes lure us into things that are contrary to God's will. Do you know that? Our eyes lure us away from Almighty God. Our eyes see things that are forbidden and they lead us away from our Creator. That's plain truth. You look at Eve. The earliest human beings on this planet were led away by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The flesh itself lures us out of fellowship with our Creator. This desire of our flesh generates within us this tension. It brings a tension upon us. There's an ongoing battle in each of us every day, and we have to master that every day. We must discipline ourselves. We must discipline ourselves. You know, anybody who's ever been addicted to anything and broken that addiction knows what I'm talking about, because that's the battle of the flesh. The flesh is addicted. The flesh wants what it wants. And we need to stand up and say, no! Subjecting ourselves to what? Discipline. Self-discipline. Temperance, it's called. This is why fasting is a good idea. It's a spiritual discipline. Oh, now you're preaching works again, Pastor. No, I'm not. The Bible teaches us to fast. Jesus fasted. His disciples fasted. All of the early prophets fasted. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. The Holy Ghost empowers us to overcome these battles of the flesh. If you doubt that you have the Holy Spirit, then we need to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you'll have the power of Almighty God to work against your flesh. Put off, it's written, concerning your former conduct. Put off the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The old man is Adam. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on the new man is Christ. Put on the new man. God, I surrender myself to Christ. I put on Christ. I put off the old man. You can do that every day. God, the moment you wake up, God, I put off the old man. I put on Christ. Take a hold of me. Use me to your glory. Let me be your creation today. Let me be who you want me to be today. Let me say what you want me to say today. The desire that our flesh generates can be overcome with the power of God's Spirit. It's written in 1 Peter, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Fleshly lusts war against the soul. And then we have this sneaky enemy called the pride of life. The pride of life, you say? I'm not a proud person. Well, maybe you don't realize it, but the pride of life is not of the Father, it's of the world. And it affects each and every one of us. We need to subject ourselves to Christ. Remember, everyone is proud in hearts, an abomination to the Lord. That's what He says. Not me. That's what He says. We're proud in our heart. We're an abomination to the Lord. And even though they join forces, and we know that the prideful are joining forces against the body of Christ, they think they're going to win. The enemy of souls believes he's going to win. He wouldn't keep doing what he's doing. He'd just give up. He'd surrender. But he believes he's going to win. But remember what it's written. Man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. You want honor? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. It's an act of your will. It's an act of your will to say, God, I don't want to be prideful. I don't want the pride of life. I want to stand with you. I want to stand for you. I want to be yours and yours alone. I want you to get the glory, not me. You know, in Psalm 119:9, it's written, how can we cleanse our way? And it tells us the answer is by listening to and following God's Word. We listen to and follow God's Word and we can cleanse our way. It's the Holy Word of Almighty God, and we can cleanse our way by what? Filling ourselves with it. We fill ourselves with the Word. What happens to our flesh? Can good and evil coexist in the same place? Fill yourself with God's Word. Purge yourself of wickedness. Allow the Holy Spirit to take over. Allow the Spirit of Almighty God to come upon you and inside you and to drive you to be the motive force in your life. Written in Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, they will also reap. And those who sow to the flesh will reap corruption. But those who sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart? You mean we've got a role in this? We've got a way somehow that we can apply ourselves that's going to give us what? The ability to continue? The night is far spent. It's written in Romans chapter 13. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife, not in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We have the power. We have the power. By Almighty God, we have the power. Sure, it's a battle. It's a battle that each of us face each day. Every day, our flesh is with us. Until the Lord takes us out of these fleshly bodies, we are up against it. There's no doubt about that. And as we come into this new calendar year that we're going to call 2019, let us all be resolved to put down the flesh, to stand in the presence of God, to allow Him to use us, to take us to His glory. God's Word makes it clear that the enemy's not flesh and blood, but we have to fight our flesh. God's Word makes it clear we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places or heavenly places. Those evil forces are doing everything possible to thwart the work that you have to do. It's the work of Christ. As His time of return draws near, the enemy's ramping up his attacks. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for God to take a hold of His people that we would stand strong. But we know that the enemy's not going to stop, folks. I can't tell you that he is. Oh, you can jump up and down all you like. You can praise God all you like. And I'm not telling you not to, but I can tell you this. Almighty God tells us in His Word, Jesus Himself said, in the world you will have tribulation. Now, whenever tribulation comes, we start wondering, well, where's God? Why did He let this happen? Why is this going on? Why is that happening? I've heard people ask me all of my life, well, if there's a God, why did He allow blah, 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 whatever it is that they want to blame on God? The reality is Almighty God has allowed us to live here, and we are His forces. We're His forces to do His will, to do His work, to combat all of the evil that's in this world. And He give us a little corner of it. Right here, we call it what? Chicora. And we get to stand in this little place to do His work. Maybe it's an outpost. Maybe we're on the fringes somewhere. Maybe some of these big cities like New York or Mexico City, maybe there's more evil there than any of us could even imagine. And you've got people there too. Remnant that are standing, fighting for Him. The enemy of your soul will use you if you let him. You surrender to him, he'll use you. He'll put you to work for him. God will take you and he'll use you to his glory. Each of us need to resolve to speak God's Word with boldness. There's a biblical resolution for you. Speak the Word of God with boldness. Souls hang in the balance, folks, and all who name the name of Christ are called to that work. Now, I'm not preaching work salvation. Again, I got to tell you that because there's people who blame me for that, and that's not what I'm preaching. But we have work to do. Our faith produces work because we believe, we receive our orders from above, and we seek to do His will. We seek to please Him. We seek to serve Him. We seek to be His. We seek to draw others into His kingdom that they too would be His who speak His word, who do His will, who bring other souls into the kingdom. Because that's what He wants. The devil and his crew, they want to stop you from doing what you're called to do. And all you got to do is step into the devil's realm and he's got you now. Oh, I know that very well too, from personal experience. You know, he tried to kill me a number of times. The devil wants to make you twice the child of hell as any other. Consider what's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? All run. We're all running in the same race. But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. There's that word again. Temperate in all things. Temperate. What's temperate? Temperance. Self-control. Self-control. We're to be controlling ourselves. Especially when it comes to the flesh. Because our flesh, I don't think there's anything else that can take us out of the grace of God like our flesh, if we submit to it. You think for a moment that you're in the grace of God when you're steeped deeply in sin? Do you think that God is right there with you in that sin? God forbid. His holiness doesn't permit Him to be in it. Anyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, those who are running a race do so to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, Paul says, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. He's not as he's fighting the air. He says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. How many of us are disciplining our bodies? How many of us are saying no? How many of us are pushing away from the table when we know it's best for us to push away from the table? How many of us are diverting our eyes away from something we know we ought not to look at? How many of us are not consuming things that God would not be glorified by? How many of us are pushing away from those things? He says, I bring my body into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Disqualified? Paul, the great evangelist, he thought he could be disqualified? No, surely not. Why would he say it? Why would he say that if he didn't believe it was possible? Hear what's written in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare. What? Wait, slow down. Back up. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ. He's preaching to a preacher here, and he's telling that preacher to preach to others. Jesus said, teach them everything that I taught you. And isn't this what Jesus taught, that we are in a battle, that we're in a war? Of course he did. They wouldn't be teaching it if he didn't teach it. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Wait a minute, the game's on, Pastor. I got to get to the game. I can't be sticking around here for prayer. Come on. There's a game on today. It's a big game. Oh, the affairs of this life. The affairs of this life. Oh, come on. This Christian thing isn't all it's cracked up to be now. You mean I can't be tangled up in the affairs of this life? What's up with that? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him. Who enlisted you? Who enlisted you? Did you enlist yourself? Or were you enlisted by Almighty God through Jesus Christ, through the blood that he shed on the cross? You were enlisted by him. And if you want to please him, you got to serve him. You got to do it his way, not your way. Frank Sinatra's song does not apply to Christians. We don't do it our way. Please him as a soldier. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. If anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. What are the rules? It's the rules of engagement. We need to be in the Word. We need to be praying. We need to be fellowshipping one with another. We need not to be withholding ourselves from fellowship, as is the manner of some. We have to compete according to the rules. In James chapter 1, it's written, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Patience? You mean I've got to be tested to get patient? Don't pray for patience, folks. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Yeah, when you're tested, God's proving you. He's perfecting you. He's making you closer to the image of Christ. "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Joy! How many of us are shouting up and down for joy? "Praise the Lord, I'm in a trial today, buddy. Oh yeah, I'm right there. Let me praise the Lord." How many people do that? I've shared this before, and you know, I had a professor one time. I came in, I must have had a long face, and my mother had almost caught their place on fire. She caught the kitchen on fire. It didn't burn the place down, and I praised the Lord for that, but I came in, I must have had a look on my face. I said, "What's going on, John?" I said, "My mother almost burned her place down yesterday." And he shouted out, "Praise the Lord!" I said, "What do you praise the Lord for?" "You said almost," he said. "Almost burned the place down." I said, "Well, she caught it on fire. Praise the Lord!" "Well, nobody got hurt. Praise the Lord!" And I started thinking, you know, he's got something there. That made me feel good. I started praising the Lord. "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Oh, you're in a war, folks. You're going to have a lot of battles. You're going to have a lot of fronts to be up against. But you need to praise the Lord. You need to count it joy, because He's going to produce patience in you. He's going to produce endurance in you. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us embrace every weight and the sin." No. Wait, I got that wrong. Wait. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." But there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians today. They're embracing the sin. "Oh, I love my sin. I'm proud of my sin." Woohoo! Yeah! They're going to march down Main Street in their sin, right? God. Oh. God be the glory. "Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Resolve to lay aside the sin which ensnares you. There's a biblical resolution for you. Resolve to set aside the sin which ensnares you. Do you think that somehow you're immune to sin ensnaring you? Well, the Bible doesn't give any way out of that. It doesn't say, well, because you said a prayer, now you're covered, so you can go out and sin it up and it won't ensnare you. No, it doesn't say that. It's not written anywhere. I can't tell you. You can go in there and look in 2 Matthew, right, and you'll find it. No. No 2 Matthew. We have to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. It's written in Luke chapter 21, and we hear Jesus saying, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing." Carousing? Yeah, He said, "Take heed, lest your hearts be weighed down." Your hearts be weighed down? You mean carousing puts a weight on my heart? He said, "Lest your hearts be weighed down with drunkenness." Drunkenness. Does that mean we're not supposed to be partying like hardy, like people like to do? Does that mean we're not supposed to be getting down with the party scene? Yeah, that's what it means. And here we go with these cares of this life again. He says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with the cares of this life." Why do you think that's repeated? Because He knows human nature. He knows what's going to happen to us. He knows how we are going to react Oh, well, you know, I got to take care of this. Oh, I got to take care of that. I got this business to attend to. I'm sorry, I'd follow you, Lord, but, you know, I got to bury the dead. I got to take care of this land I bought. My kids are getting married. I got. Don't get weighed down with the cares of this life. He says, that day will come upon you unexpectedly. It'll come on as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Why do we have to... Wait, he's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. Why do we have to pray that we'll be able to escape all these things that are coming to pass on the earth? Why do we have to pray that we're going to escape those things that come upon the earth? Because he said so. That's Jesus. That's the guy I follow. That's his teachings I follow. And I don't know what teachings you follow, but I can tell you this. I follow him. He said it, so I believe it. That's pretty simple for me. I got that. I'm just stupid like a kid, I guess. You know, I just think it's right because he said it, and I'm going to follow it. I hope you will too. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Resolve not to be weighed down with carousing. Resolve not to be weighed down with drunkenness. Resolve not to be weighed down with the cares of this life. There's too many things that will take us away from His presence. There's too many things that will harm us. They'll weigh down our hearts. We'll be burdened with all these things. It'll be harder and harder to fight. You think of a soldier going out into battle. He's already got a lot of weight on. Why would you want to add weight to the soldier, right? You're a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he says, don't weigh yourself down with these things. Break three. Throw it off. Throw the weight off. He says, every way of man's right in his own eyes. Yeah, well, you know, you don't know me. Pastor John, you don't know me. See, I got it together. I can do these things and I have freedom in Jesus. I can do whatever I want and it's okay because you don't know me. See, it's all right. I got it. I got this. I got this. It's covered. I got it. But the Lord, oh, no, wait a minute. The Lord weighs the hearts. Now, he thought, this is another passage of Scripture. This is Proverbs chapter 21. Jesus said, don't let your heart get weighed down. And now in Proverbs, we're hearing, wait a minute, that the Lord weighs the hearts? What's your heart weighed down with? Is your heart weighed down with carousing? Is your heart weighed down with drunkenness? Is your heart weighed down with the cares of this life? Well, Jesus is going to weigh your heart. If I read it right, the Lord weighs the hearts. And then he says here in Proverbs 21, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. To do righteousness and justice is what? More acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. We don't have a sacrificial system anymore. You're not going to bring your animals in here. We're not going to slaughter them and spill the blood, cover for a sin, because Jesus already paid it all. But to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So resolve to do righteousness and justice. Resolve to do righteousness. There's a biblical resolution for you. As we turn the calendar from 2018 to 2019, we have to prepare ourselves to be those spiritual warriors that we're called to be. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, we hear, when you go out to battle against your enemies. Now, this is not directly to believers, but we have to hear what's written here because it applies to us. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, he's talking to the Israelites at that time who were going into battle physically. He said, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Don't you know that God has brought each of you out of the land of Egypt? That land of Egypt is the world. The big picture is sin. It is everything that's contrary to Almighty God, and you've been brought out by the Lord your God. Don't be afraid of the enemies. He tells us, don't be afraid of the enemies. And so it shall be when you're on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And this is, hear what he says. Hear what he says. Today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Woo! Praise God! He's with us! He goes with us! He's with us. in the battles. Yes, we're in a war. Yes, we're fighting. Yes, we're fighting our own flesh because our flesh is tempted, because it's weak. Yes, we're fighting, but Almighty God is with us. He goes with us to fight for us against our enemies. Believers are grafted into Israel. And so this applies to us. We've been grafted in. He said, but don't get too proud, he said, because if he cut off the natural branches, he can cut off them that was grafted in too. You're on the verge of battle with your enemies every day. You are. But don't let your heart faint. Don't be afraid. Don't tremble or be terrified because of your enemies. Because the Lord your God is with you. He fights for you against your enemies to save you. Think about that. Hear what's written in Hebrews chapter 12. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Do you want to be not weary? You want to be not discouraged? Consider Christ. Think about the hostility he went through. Think about the cross that he endured. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. He was speaking to those people at that time, and we can all look at that ourselves and say, we have not resisted the bloodshed. We have not strived against sin to such a degree that we're actually bleeding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we hear, but thanks be to God who gives us, what's he give us? The victory. The victory. Yeah. The victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Can you resolve to be steadfast? Immovable. Can you resolve to be immovable? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Always? Come on. Can I have a little time for myself? The game's on tonight. Can I just nuzzle up with my television remote and just... Sure. You can do whatever you like. You do have freedom. You have liberty. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor's not in vain. And sometimes, folks, I'll tell you, I find myself discouraged in my soul. And I think all this is vain. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And I'm reminded, the Lord says, it's not in vain. It's not in vain because it's in Him. The work in the world can be in vain. But to work in Him? Oh, no. Mm-mm. In 2 Peter, we hear, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware. Pay attention. This is for all of us. Beware. Lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Now, what would lead us to fall from steadfastness? Being led away with the error of the wicked. So being led away with the error of the wicked could knock us off of our steadfastness, according to the passage that we just read here from 2 Peter chapter 3. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Heed the warnings of Scripture. We battle against spiritual forces, principalities, powers. We battle against our flesh because the enemy uses our flesh against us. We battle against the world, the things of the world. It's a spiritual war. And there's a danger that we could be falling away, according to Scripture. Not according to me. Now, we could twist passages of Scripture and say, well, no, you know, that isn't really what it really means. I go with the plain meaning of Scripture. I have to. I'm just too simple-minded to do it any other way, I guess. But I have to say, if God warns us against the danger of falling away, there's a danger. There's a real danger of falling away, that you could be lost in the war. You know, as I wrap this up, I want each of you to strengthen your resolve. And I want you to strengthen your resolve to do what needs to be done in 2019. For yourself, disciplining your flesh, I want you to remember that God's your shield. He's your exceedingly great reward, according to Scripture. I want you to resolve to be strong and of good courage. I want you to resolve not to fear. I want you to resolve not to be afraid of your enemies, because the Lord is your God and He goes with you. He's the one that goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And that's repeated. That's not just in one place in Scripture. We hear that repeatedly. And yes, He's talking to His people at that time, but it passes down to us because we are among His people now. If you've been raised with Christ, I want you to resolve to seek the things that are above where Christ is. I want you to resolve to set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are up below, not on the things that are on the in the earth. Resolve to watch. Resolve to stand fast in the faith. This is what's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Resolve to be brave. Resolve to be strong. These are biblical resolutions. If you're going to make some resolutions, that's the resolutions you need to make. Let all that you do be done with love. Make that resolution, that everything you do in the coming year would be done with love. And if you feel the enemy tempting you to be hateful, tell him to flee. Resist the devil, because he's got no choice but to flee you when you resist him. That's what God's Word says. Do you believe God's Word? Do you trust God's Word? Are you following God's Word? Are you going to walk by God's Word? Are you going to live by God's Word? Because if you are, then you can resist the devil and he will flee. Resolve to cast off the works of darkness. Resolve to put on the armor of light. Christ is that light. Remember, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, resolve to be serious and watchful in your prayers. If you haven't been praying steadily, then you need to get to it, folks. You really do. The time is short. You need to get to praying. And it's just a matter of talking to God like you talk to anybody else. Hey, God, I'm weak. I need you to help me. That people who pray and I don't know what to say, is it just talk to them. Just tell them whatever comes to mind. But pray. Be serious about your praying. Be watchful in your prayers as the time draws near. And resolve to watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. You mean we can enter temptation? Well, that's what the Word says. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing. Let the Spirit of Almighty God take you and use you to His glory. Your flesh is weak. You know that. You know that you succumb to temptation just as I have in my life. I praise God that right now I'm not sinning. But I have, folks. I've grieved God's heart. Somebody was complaining, saying, you know, love isn't supposed to be like this. Having some kind of upset in their relationship. And I said, well, think about this. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then we spit in His face and we wonder why people hurt us, right? Well, it's okay for us to spit in God's face with our sin, but we don't want anybody else to spit in ours with theirs, right? Somehow that's okay. Well, because after all, we're under grace. You've got to remember that. Don't forget. The Scriptures are there as our teacher to bring us to Christ. Resolve to watch. Resolve to pray. Finally, my brethren, it's written in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Resolve to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And as we go forward, as we flip that calendar, and suddenly it's a new year. Happy New Year! Remember, you're in a war. You're a soldier. And to be a good soldier, you need to surrender yourself to the one that enlisted you and allow Him to use you to His glory. And you won't be disappointed. No matter how these battlefronts turn out, you will never be disappointed because He is with you now and forever. And that's by the grace of Almighty God. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to go forward as the family of Christ. Help us to resolve to watch and stand fast in the faith. Help us to be brave and be strong. Lord, help us to have everything we do be done with love. Resolve, Lord, in our hearts that we would cast off the works of darkness. Help us to put on the armor of light. Help us, Father, to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in your work. Help us, Father, to remember Christ who endured such hostility from sinners that we would not become weary and discouraged in our souls. Help us not to be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness. Help us not to be weighed down with the things of this life. Help us to be your people who love you. I pray that you would touch each one who's hearing this message and those who will hear it later. That you would be glorified by all of our lives. I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen.